The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I can choose to love the fact that I feel behind. It's like, okay, I feel behind. What am I going to do with that? You know, I can offer that up and say, you know what? I feel behind. And that's because, you know, I feel jealous of this person. Or like, there's this one person I feel like I have to impress. Okay, I'm going to be okay with that. And instead of like working extra hard to catch up to where I think I need to be, I'm going to spend more time with my family. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast with the physiognomy of an American Solidarity Party presidential ticket. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Oh, that's, yeah, that's, let's pull it up. Pull up the photos.
Is that what they look like? I don't know what they look like. The American Solidarity Party is a fake political party in the United States of America that pretends to be real. But they're, dude, this is just you, but in 50 years. I hate to inform
show
you.
Show me, please.
If you don't watch on YouTube, you're about to, you should check it out.
No! No! He looks like the guy from Cracker Barrel.
He looks like my friend from my podcast.
His beard is running away from his face.
He looks like if Colonel Sanders had a belt sander go over the top of his head.
Colonel Belt Sanders. There you
Colonel
go.
Colonel Belt Sanders. Nice.
Oh, man.
Yeah, his name is, they don't even put his name, Brian T. Carroll. And then his running mate looks like this guy, Ruzon. Yeah. This is for U.S. Senate. This could be me, I guess.
For U.S. Senate of what state?
Doesn't matter. He's running for Senate. It just says Senate 2024, baby. That's all that matters. Anyway,
do you want to know my thoughts on the American Solidarity Party?
Hold on. Yeah, go ahead.
Have fun, guys. Let the boys play.
Have you seen that meme of the guy, the virgin, or the Chad, with the virgin who's like, I'm going to vote for the third party that isn't one of the two main parties. And then the Republicans lose by one vote and the Democrats win. Yeah. And it's just a bunch of baby murderers and child sex change havers.
Yeah. We all heard this in 2016.
We've all seen this meme, but I think it's genuinely true. Like
I don't think it's genuinely true.
I think it's genuinely true, and I think that you can take currently existing institutions and you can just make them righteous, even if they're in a liberal form.
I think that that's not how the presidential presidential election works.
This is The Crunch. It's a comedy Catholic podcast, which you probably couldn't figure out from the first two
Your
and a half
vote
minutes
doesn't
of this
matter.
Show.
I guess what I'm trying to tell you is don't vote.
My
the
name's
virgin
Ethan.
Voting...
Oh, this is my buddy Patrick. We're Catholic, and we like to talk about things, all things Catholic, but sometimes we like to have jokes. We think that all conversations should sound like this one, even the serious ones in your life.
The virgin,
take that for what
the virgin,
it means.
I'm voting for a third party. The Chad, I filled out the entire ballot except for the presidential candidate. I think that's what I did in 2020.
Really?
I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember.
I voted in 2020. I don't even remember if I voted in 2020. I'm sure I did.
If you didn't,
I don't know
they
where.
Did for you.
They did. That's true.
That's what I was talking to Phoebe, and I was like, I don't think I filled out that section of the ballot. And I was like, oh, no, what if... I voted in Pennsylvania. What?
Oh, true. That's true. That is your fault. You live in two pretty big swing states. I've always lived in non-swing states, so it's hard for me to get amped up as if I were to live in like Wisconsin. You know?
So again, I lived in a swing state, but I didn't live in a swing jurisdiction. My section of Pennsylvania was pretty hardcore Republican.
But now you live in Miami-Dade County.
Incorrect.
Now you live in Brevard County.
Actually, I do live in a swing county.
They do. They do talk. That's the one that Wolf Blitzer talks about when he gets on his big iPad.
Brevard County.
Someone needs to make the joke that the big iPad that counts up all the districts is just Temple Run, but for Democrats.
it's just Temple Run, but for people who want control over. It's like, is that true? He talks about Brevard County.
Yeah, at least I remember it was either the 2016 or the 2020 election coverage. They mentioned Brevard County a number of times, and I was like, "Oh,
sure, sure."
Here I come.
We have this strange, you know, combination of people that live here because of the space program. So we have people from all over the place coming,
all over the place,
Brevard County, all over the place,
and they're just handing out votes. Mm-hmm. They're coming from all over, and they can just get to vote.
No, they're coming from all over the place in America. We don't have a big immigrant. We don't have a big immigration happening into. Well, that's not necessarily true. We do Brevard County. Oh, Brevard County does have an international college, an internationally like recognized, not recognized, but like internationally like magnet. A lot of Indian and Arabic men who are very smart come to FIT.
That makes sense.
FIT is in Brevard County.
The nice part about living in Oklahoma is that I don't have to pretend that it's cool in the same way that you have to pretend that Florida is cool.
Not to pretend that Florida is cool.
Keep telling yourself that, buddy.
It is cool.
I have beef with you. We have a problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. We got to go back. Is it because I didn't interview anyone last week?
No, because you did the podcast without me.
Mm-hmm. You asked me to.
And you didn't push back at all.
You were like, I can't wait to get rid of this guy.
I said, hey, I can't do the podcast. You know, I need your help because I'm going to be at my brother's wedding. And you said, okay. You weren't even like, you didn't even try. You didn't even like fight for me. You know?
Oh my God.
And then you go off and you go off by yourself and you have a great time and you post about it all over and you're showing everybody how much fun you're having on your own. You don't even think about my feelings. You don't even think about how that would affect me. Disgusting.
What did you? You didn't listen to the episode.
No, no, not at all. I didn't listen.
Of course not. No. If you did listen to last week's episode, go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord. Tell me what you thought.
I listened to you talk about evangelization enough off pod that I think I probably could just predict what it sounded like.
We do have a problem.
We actually need more nuance in these conversations.
Shut up! I'm not.
That's my impression.
Whatever it is. I'm not the nuance dog.
You used to be the nuance guy. You used to be nuance guy.
I used to be the nuance guy, but then it became a meme. We have a problem.
Did you think about me while you were doing it?
I did. I thought about you the whole time.
Really? You miss me?
Did you miss the you didn't listen to the dating corner either?
Nope.
Where I opened the show and I said, "Welcome to the Crunch. It's your boy Ethan." And then I went, "I'm Patrick."
Wow. It's like the Wolverine laying in bed meme, looking at a picture frame.
Look at it. Yeah.
But it's me.
We have a problem.
What is it?
Did you see what I posted on my Twitter account? Twitter.com/CatholicPat.
It's kind of like it's like you and me are teachers, and then you assume that because we work in the same building that like we're friends outside of the podcast. It's just funny because you're like, did you listen to the podcast? No. Did you listen to Data Quarter? No. Did you see my tweet? No.
No. This tweet affects okay. You. It is not.
I'm locking
simply,
in.
I'm not simply saying, oh, look at this funny quip.
I'm ready.
I posted, do you know that I have a podcast? Parentheses, it's called The Crunch. 8% said, yes, I listen.
Whoa.
19% said, yes, but I don't listen. And 73% of people said they don't know about the podcast.
Wow.
Do you know what that means, dear listener? That means we need to enlist you. That's right, you. I'm pointing at the camera, you right here. We need to enlist you to tell a friend about the podcast. We can't do a pledge because our friend James did that on his podcast.
He encouraged us to do a pledge.
You guys, okay. Well, Ethan, do you want to do a pledge?
Everyone take the inaugural James Nomel, Forbes McCann, Catamaran Plan co-opted the Crunch Catholic podcast by Ethan and Patrick by James Donald Forbes McCann pledge with me right now.
Yes.
I state your name here.
I Patrick
solemnly and severely pledge.
Solemnly and severely pledge
to stop this podcast at the conclusion of the pledge.
To stop this podcast at the conclusion of the pledge.
Pull over to the side of the road or stop my other activities.
Pull over to the side of the road or stop my other activities.
And click the button that shares the podcast.
And click the button that shares the podcast.
And send it to 5 people.
And send it to 5 people. Oh my
this,
God.
This I do and forevermore pledge. Amen.
This I do and forevermore pledge. Amen.
For the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are now and forever. What?
What?
What did you say?
I said, and a women.
A women. I forgot about that. That's a deep cut.
A men and a women.
So if you just took the pledge and you just pulled over or stopped an otherwise activity and you sent it to the 5 people, thank you for listening. And thank you for spreading the good word. If you did not do that, why? Why do you listen but you don't share? You like us enough to be slopping your ears, but not enough to be slopping someone else's ears. And that's gross. That means you want us all to yourself. Like, I want Patrick all to myself. And that's wrong.
Gross.
No, not like that. I want you all myself in a podcast way.
In like a normal way.
In like a biblical way.
Oh, man. I've been having a good day.
You've been having a good day? Today. That's good. This is a new leaf for you.
I know. Usually I'm having a rough... Every time I ask my son, this shows you how pessimistic I am. Yeah. Whenever I say, hey, Leo, how was your day? He goes, rough day. Rough day. Oh, boy.
Oh, like, man.
Is he just repeating what Dang, I say when that's I what come you home say. From work?
Yes.
Oh, boy, it was a rough day.
When I come home and I ask Peter... Well, I come home, I go downstairs. I ask Peter, what's going on? He goes, shoot basketball? Shoot basketball? Shoot basketball.
Chotch.
I know. That must be what I'd say all the time.
Ethan doesn't say that anymore.
No, not anymore. Only in rare occasions.
I saw this this post. It was like a picture of a church, and it had CH__CH, and it was, what's missing? And it's supposed to say, you are, like, from the church. And I was like, O-T.
That's pretty funny.
Deep cut.
You should have. Did you post that on Twitter?
No, no one would get it. You would get it.
I would get it. What's what? So what do we? So we got probably like 20 more minutes here on this show. 30 more minutes here on this show.
Yeah, that's about
what.
Right.
I feel so. Let me just give you an update.
Okay.
I went to my brother's wedding last week. It was amazing.
Yes.
I'm back now. I'm finally, like, today, Wednesday and today feel like, okay, I'm back in the groove. Like, Monday, Tuesday was like, where am I? What's going on? You know, 5-hour drive on Sunday.
Yeah.
What year is it? I don't know where I am. Today, I had a great day. I got up early, got up at 5, got some work done before Peter got up, breakfast with the family, got to work, got a lot done, full day of meetings. But I'm, like, looking at my to-do list for the week. With the car's broken, I've got a thing from Jiffy Lube right here saying, hey, bud, car's broken. And I've been meaning to call mechanics. And I'm looking, and every day I get done with the day, I've barely made it through like a couple of tasks for my job. And every day it's 5 p.m., time to go downstairs, time to shoot basketball, time to eat taco, time to have water balloon fight in backyard. And I haven't called mechanic. I was supposed to call mechanic by Friday. I have a credit card bill I have to pay. Our credit card bill.
Uh-oh.
It's been on my to-do list. Talk to Patrick about credit card bill. No time.
Sorry, is there something wrong? We don't have a balance.
No, there's nothing. No, we do. We just need to figure out how quickly we're going to pay it off. That's all.
Okay. All right. We're fine.
We spent a lot
of
money.
We paid
at the
for
National
a very
Eucharistic Congress.
Thing. Oh,
yes,
did
Patrick.
We?
No, we didn't spend a lot. It was just several hundred dollars.
It's okay. We'll get it figured out.
No, I mean, it's just, it was expensive because we had to do flights. We had to do food while we were there. Yes. Ubers, you know, all of that stuff. It adds up.
That's so patreon.com/thefrunch.
Yes. We are humble.
We had our biggest month with the toolkit, and it goes right to American Express.
Yes. American Express. I think as it should be, you know.
Yeah.
It's all deductible.
We have an Amex card.
So we're getting 37 cents back on the dollar. What?
Do I get access to the American Express lounge at the Charlotte?
We don't have a high enough card. We have the lowest level American Express card. Do you want to pay the annual fee to get the lounge? I don't think we travel enough to make it worth it.
No, we don't.
Yeah. I did try to sneak in. Like, I thought about going up, and I was like, hey, can I get in? They're like, show me your card. And I did, and they were like, this isn't. And I was like, all right. I tried. I saw the sign. I read the sign. I went anyway. What can you do? I was in Denver for 4 hours. I didn't know what else to do. Anyway, not important. And I feel like I finally understand what people mean when they say there's not enough hours in the day.
Yes. I've been feeling that recently too.
And I think it's because I switched jobs about 3 weeks ago. And I think my new job is potentially like the first busy job I've had where I'm like, there's just a lot to do and it has to be done very soon. And I just got plunged right in. A lot of other jobs I've had, it's like, yeah, we want to do this, but it's like a year and a half long thing and we're not really going to pressure you on it or whatever. Like Focus was busy, but at any time I could stop and do what I wanted to do because it was my own thing. Being a real estate agent was busy, but at any time I could stop and do it because I was a sales guy. So I could just kind of have meetings, not have meetings, whenever. My last job, I was remote. It was pretty low key. It was laid back. This now it's like I'm in meetings 6 hours out of the day and I have to do all of my work that's in those meetings in the other 2 hours.
It's like you're crazy. Back in high school.
It feels like I'm back in high school, except I'm in one room and I do get good cell service in here. Unlike high school when I couldn't even post on Snapchat or Vine.
Forgive me for saying this about your employer who is a dear friend who we both love.
Yes.
6 hours?
No, it's not, they're not all team meetings. It's like client meetings.
Client meetings.
Yeah. There certainly are a lot of team meetings. I think it's an imbalance because it's a new process, new team, new clients. It's just a perfect storm of like, there's a lot of stuff to figure out.
Sure.
And we're like putting the plane together in the air, you know? So there's not a lot of time to take breaks.
How do your clients have time to be in these meetings? Your clients. I mean, we hired someone to help us with marketing. And if he was like, hey, I need to meet with you guys once a week for an hour every week, I would be like, no, thank you. Never mind. I don't want to do this anymore. This is too much meetings. Even if he was like spitting gold the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it just depends on what you're looking for. A once a week meeting for a client is not, given all that we have to do to spin up in a couple months, is
sure
reasonable, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, run a paid traffic ads funnel for us. Okay. You got to tell me a lot about, I need access to your website. I need access to all of your collateral. I need access to your whole philosophy so that I can sell it the way you want it to be sold. We got to set up landing pages, email sequences, you know, like all these things. It's like And that takes a lot of back and forth because if I write the email and you don't like it, we don't have a meeting to talk about it, then I've done this whole thing and then I have to redo it, which ends up costing you more time.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually behooves you to meet with me regularly. Anyway, all I'm saying is that I'm very busy. I'm very busy and it is making me, I don't know how to carry on. Like not in a suicidal way, but like in a, I don't know how to make this work, you know?
Yeah.
When am I going to work out? No time.
I just kind of don't now.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I just simply don't work out. It's awful, but it's
We could be like Jared Vennett in The Big Short and we could do our calls while we're working out.
Sure, that's possible. I wouldn't do it though.
Why not? You scared? You scared that everyone will be so intimidated by your big muscles that they'll just be like, "Oh, Patrick, I want to buy everything that you're selling. We love you so much."
I would maybe, I don't know, but it's just like I very clearly don't want it bad enough to change my life to work out more. So that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
If I really wanted to be this way, or like if I really wanted to work out more, I would simply change
mm-hmm.
to do it. And I have not done that. So I don't really want to, I guess.
I think that's fair. I do too. Speaking of Catholic podcasts, I think I have a problem. Maybe you can counsel me on this.
Uh-huh.
I know intellectually that I ought to pray and find solace in prayer. But because of the aforementioned, I feel like I have so much to do. The only thing that like helps me find peace is just like working more and getting things done off the checklist. Because then when I try to sit down and pray and I'm like not getting things done, I'm just thinking about like all the time that I'm losing because I have so much to do, not just for my job, but also for like my family, for like the self-care, if you want to call it that. Like when I take 30 minutes to pray, that's 30 minutes I don't have to spend with my kid. That's 30 minutes I don't have to go on a walk.
Yes.
That's 30 minutes I don't have to read a book. That's 30 minutes I don't have to get ahead on something, which I understand is a sacrifice that we make, and God will always provide if you pray. I know that. You don't have to tell me that in the comments. I know you all have a PhD in time. But it's so hard because you just sit there, and I just get all anxious, and then I can't focus. And then when I do pray, it's like I just wasted all that time because I wasn't focused the whole time. So then I'm like, I'll just like pray the rosary with my family later and like not worry about it, and it'll be okay. I feel like that's wrong. I know that it's wrong. But I don't know why. It used to be so easy to like pray to relieve anxiety. And now the only thing that relieves my anxiety is working. And that sucks. I don't like that I've changed in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that. That's why I only pray that's why I force myself to wake up, and then I go and I have, I make my little coffee and I sit down in my little spot and I pray there before my brain is awake enough to realize that I have so much to do that I should stop praying. I pray before my brain wakes up. My soul prays and my brain does not. My brain sleep while my soul prays. That's how I've been doing it recently.
Cope.
I've been reading.
I feel like that's what people's like. I sleep, but my soul is praying. Dog, you're sleeping.
No.
That's called being asleep.
I'm awake. I mean, I'm awake, and like my brain is not awake yet.
It's just, I know what you mean. I just, the way that you said it was like, my brain is sleeping, but my soul is praying. Like, dog, you're just taking a nap. You're that's what sleeping. That is.
My brain is not functioning. Like, I could not tell you what words I'm reading.
Officer, my brain was drunk, but my soul was driving. You know
that's just how it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you wake up and you're too tired to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to pray. And God's like, cool, I can work with that.
Yeah,
and my brain. There's no complicated meditation happening. There's no interesting thoughts being journaled. There's no profound Imitation of Christ books being read. There's just Patrick reading a psalm. That's all it is.
Are we too busy as a people?
We really need to reclaim leisure, the basis of culture.
Yes. Please take all of my money now.
Did Joseph Pieper have a mortgage?
Joseph Pieper sounds like a nickname they would give to a Twitch streamer that got caught.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I repent of all of the time that I spent in college talking about how people are too busy and we need to just relax more. Man, shut up. You have nothing going on.
Yeah.
I look back on my young self podcasting about how people are too busy these days. I'm like, dude, you have four things to do in any given day. Total.
Charge your phone, eat hot chip,
lie.
That's all you do.
That's all you have to do. And it's like you have the most time. Mm-hmm. You have the most time. And you know what's funny is like I look at some of these. I do think it's there's that saying like youth is wasted on the young. I don't think that's necessarily true, because it's like there's you have to be young enough to bounce back from the stupidity. Like you have to, yeah. you have to be young enough to learn lessons the hard way. But I was talking to this, kid who's 21. So he's not really a kid, but he's in my business networking group and he's like a commercial real estate agent. And he's like the VP of like a really, he's the vice president of this like boutique commercial real estate agency that's really successful. He's a devout Christian guy. He's jacked. He's having a great time. He's also just nice.
He's like this. Really cool he's like dude. The superhero comic episode version of me.
Yes. Yeah. 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 He's like a caricature of, and he's 21 and he's like super successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's not like successful, but he's you could tell he's got a lot of promise, right? And I was talking to him and I was like, dude, I'm so happy that you're at this place now because imagine when you get married and like when you have kids, you're going to be even more jealous with your time and you're going to like maximize your time even more because like you don't, when you have all this free time, you don't realize how much you're wasting. And he was like, actually, I kind of do have kids. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, I live at home with my 7 younger siblings and his dad passed away. And he's like taking care of his younger siblings. And I was like, oh.
Based.
I think that if you don't have responsibilities, you aren't responsible. Perhaps that's just life, you know? And so I think that you're just at this point where like you're becoming cognizant of all the responsibilities you have and you just haven't learned how to manage them yet because you're 28 and that's fine. And you will eventually learn how to deal with those things.
Yeah. It's crazy that people say that they can't handle the responsibility before they've actually experienced the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I could never get married and have kids. You know, I just don't feel ready. So I guess I'll get a dog, you know, is like saying, I don't think I could ever win at chess. So I'm just going to only play Fortnite.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well,
I did talk to someone who said that he thinks he could never have kids because he's too selfish. And I was like, yeah, no, I hear you. That Leo does make me less selfish. Yeah. I will say,
I think it's just all backwards. You're 100% right. It's the, I think a really cool thing about where you and I are both at in our lives is that we've put ourselves somewhat intentionally in like difficult situations.
Yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
Like there, you could get a different job that is salaried and easier.
I could, yeah.
Certainly. You know what I mean? Like, you have enough skill, you have enough networking, but instead what you've chosen to do is be a, you know, work for yourself / content mogul, you know, ex-power user. It's like just way harder than just clocking in, clocking out at the old factory, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've chosen to switch jobs every year, kind of.
I've kind of chosen
that. And my newest job is a place that's really amazing to work, but it's a startup and it's fast and it's difficult. And I'm like trying to prove myself. I'm trying to earn my spot at the company. But I feel like because we did that, we're going to be, when you and I are 35, we're going to be cruising, I feel like, you know? Like, I feel like we're experiencing this like we're getting Stretch Armstronged, you know? But then when God stops squeezing, we're gonna be jacked.
I've been rereading this book that one of my favorite motivational authors is John Acuff. He's great. He formerly of the Dave Ramsey Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
He started a blog called Stuff Christians Like back in the day, and then Dave kind of brought him on as one of his first personalities, and wrote a couple of books. One of the books that he wrote when he was with Dave Ramsey is called Start. So he wrote a book called Start. So he's at his Start. his first 4 business books were called Quitter, Start, Finish, and Do Over, which I really like as like a, you know, it's like,
wow,
great, right? It's like start, finish, do over, quit. I love it. It's great. The first book is how to like quit your job. Start is how to like start your dream job. Finish is how to finish your dream. And then do over is like what happens if you have to start over.
It's like me getting dressed every morning. That's the process I go through.
Start, finish, quit, do over.
Yes. And I walk out in my coolest outfit. My wife is like, no. And I'm like, dang it.
Dang it.
I got to go back in. God gives his coolest clothes to his pickiest wives.
Start is the book that I'm rereading, and he used this image that I like keep coming back to. It sticks in my brain, and I was like, I need to reread this book to because I read it when I was a single man working at a church, and it didn't really apply very much. But he says there's like 5 decades in a person's life. And the first decade is where you look at your phone instead of listening to your friend.
I'm paying attention to you. Don't ever call me out ever again in your life.
Every time you call me out, I put it in my head and then I go, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him one of the iPodcasts with this jerk 3 hours a week. I'll see him looking at his phone one day. I know you probably had something going on. Are you okay?
Oh, everything's fine. I was checking my phone for personal reasons, and I'm getting blasted live on air.
Getting filet-o-fished right here on the podcast.
No, everything's good. Continue.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Phoebe, you know what I hate?
What do you hate?
Big tech.
Okay.
I live in constant fear of my precious Twitter account getting taken down because I don't own it. I like owning the places where my website is. And that's why The Crunch, I don't know if you know this, The Crunch website is hosted on Patmos. Are you familiar with Patmos?
I am not.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Patmos is your island of refuge in the ocean of big tech. They provide top-notch web and app hosting services, hosting and API GPU services. And if you know what that means, tell me. That's awesome. I don't know if I should say that, but I'm not the techie guy. They handle all of our website stuff, and it runs more smooth than it ever has in the past. All backed by no censorship guarantee. I know I can say anything I want on this podcast. I made a joke on the last episode, a little bit off color. I know that me saying something like that isn't going to get me thrown off the internet, and our livelihood won't be taken away from us. You like feeding our children, right?
I enjoy that very much.
Thanks to Patmos, I can safely feed my children ongoing. They offer unbeatable pricing and security from the ground up because they own the dirt that their servers sit on. They own everything that your stuff is hosted on. And I get the best service because I have like an actual person to talk to. Her name's Camilla. She's great. And they never offshore or sub out work. Everything is done in-house by them. There's just no better value in tech services than Patmos. I'm being honest when I say that. They've taken such good care of us. Whether you want to build an awesome new app or a website or host your current site, all you need to do is reach out to Patmos at patmos.tech. They help businesses, missions, churches of all sizes accomplish their goals with great value and service. Tell them The Crunch sent you and you get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration, whichever you need. That's patmos.tech, freedom as a service. Isn't that great, Bibi?
It's amazing.
I know, right? It's awesome. Thanks for joining me for the ad read. I love you. Hey, Phoebe, do you remember when I crapped myself the first day I did Exodus 90?
I will never forget that.
So, hi, my name is Patrick Devy. I did Exodus 90 a couple of years ago, and I did poop my pants on the first day because I fasted and drank too much coffee. But did you know that Exodus 90 is not just about fasting and cold showers before Easter? Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Tell me more.
So they do a little thing called St. Michael's Lent that you can actually go sign up for now if you are a man and you're interested in getting yourself ready for Advent, getting yourself ready for Christmas. You can download their app and you can actually get their, they have daily scripture meditations, prayers, reflections on getting closer to God as a man. They have also have a new course on the Eucharist just in time for now that we're after the Eucharistic revival. We can, you know, get closer to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. If you go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, you can let them know that we sent you and you can enjoy the beautiful the beautiful prayers and courses they have available on there right now. It's exodus90.com/thecrunch. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Cool. So he says there's five different decades in your life, your 20s, in your professional life, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Yeah. And I forget what the words are, but he was like, in your 20s, it's when you're learning. In your 30s, you're editing. In your 40s, you master. You're in your 50s, you harvest. And then in your 60s, you guide. And he's like, this is how it traditionally was for our baby boomer grandparents. It was like, this was, you learn your job in your 20s, you edit down to the best parts in the 30s. In your 40s, you master it. You harvest in your 50s, and then your 60s, you guide people that are younger than you. And he's like, basically, he's like, these five stages happen. They can be compressed. They can be expanded over the course of a lifetime, or over the course of like, if you have to restart and you have to learn again, maybe you're 50, but you're in your 20s in your career. And so you got to do your 20s in a more compressed period of time. But like when I was reading this book, I was like, there's no way. I just naturally, by the fact that I am 20 and in my 20s, not 20 anymore, I am in the learning stage in basically everything. There's very few, he's writing this book for any adult. Maybe that you're 50 years old and you want to start an Etsy shop, you know, and like, I'm in my 20s again, you know, it's like, that's nice. But there's, I don't think you can go reverse where it's like, yeah, I'm in my harvesting stage as a 20-year-old, you know,
guy who wins the lottery.
Yeah, exactly. There's this guy who's been coming to my networking group occasionally who talks about he's like my age, and he's talking about how he's the COO of a B2B SaaS AI solution. And I was like, there's too many acronyms in that sentence, and you're 2 years older than me.
We should shoot him into the sun.
I was like, everyone knows that you're pretending to be in the master stage. Like you're. Mm-hmm. You know, this everyone can tell. It's kind of transparent. Yeah. And so now, but I
don't think
that
anybody has made any money in B2B SaaS, by the way. I don't think a single person. It's just a bunch of people lying about making money. That's what that industry is. It's propped up on dreams and LinkedIn posts. This is the only thing that
industry
has. Propped
up on dreams, LinkedIn posts, and people forgetting to cancel their free trial. That's what that industry is built on.
Yes.
Which well, I almost did with a B2B SaaS software that I was trying out for the crunch. I was like, oop, $97, almost lost that.
I work B2B SaaS. I sold a copy of Mortal Kombat to a store employee.
But anyway, I think this is how I feel with our shared career. And I think many of our listeners probably feel the same way in their individual careers. Because we're all, you know, growing. It's like, we're in our 20s, early 30s, most of us, and we've been working so hard for so long. Why aren't we seeing the fruits? And it's because in between learning and harvesting is like three steps. He talks about in your 20s, it's like learning everything, getting your hands on everything, so that you can learn a little bit about a lot. And then in your 30s, the next stage is like, okay, that and that and that are what I am really, really good at. So I'm going to get rid of everything else, and I'm just going to focus, and I'm going to bear down on this. And then I'm going to get in the next stage, I'm going to get so good at that thing, and then I'm going to harvest the fruit of being the best at that thing. But like so many of us, I want this. I want all of the things that I do. I want to be a master of all of them, and I want to harvest the fruit of all of them now at 27, so I can stop. So I don't have to do anything else for the rest of my life. I don't know. I've tried to circle this back into what you were talking about, but it's like the reason why I don't feel like I have enough time is because I feel like I have to get everything done now, because I'm supposed to be so much further in my mind than where I am. And so that's the source of the anxiety is like, if I don't figure out the automations on the CRM, then like, you know, like I should have figured this out when I was 16 instead of being in math class.
Yeah.
You know,
why was I six instead of buying real estate?
Exactly.
You know, in 2008, that whole thing.
That is how I feel.
I wasn't six. I was 12. I could have, if I was industrious, I probably could have bought real estate in 2000.
You're probably going to flip your first house at 12.
I probably could have flipped but it upside down.
I feel like, man, if only I had started earlier. And it's like, Patrick, how much earlier could you have started? You started this podcast when you were 19 years old. You know what I mean?
And you were studying theology
and
communications.
And so it's the same thing with this new job. I was like, man, if I'd only started in sales 3 years prior. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, how much earlier did you want to learn this skill? You weren't ready to learn the skill yet. You know, it's...
Yeah, it's also I totally get where you're coming from. It's kind of this like, if I could go back, like it's easy to fall into this daydream trap sometimes of like, oh, if I could just go back first day of college, you know, and I could just wake up
and call the first Patrick, day of college. I got an idea. We're starting a podcast.
You don't know who I am.
We're building a course.
But I have one first tip: grow out your beard. Second tip: break up with that Protestant girl. Third tip. Transfer. No, I'm kidding.
Transfer.
No, it's easy to think
you
back.
You would have done better at Franciscan than I would have done at K-State.
That is true. That is true.
Correct.
Yes. Oh, I would have ruled that place. It's actually insane when I think about it.
You never would have joined a household. You would have been like, I kind of don't. I'm not in a household.
I would start a household. It would just be called Ethan. You join Ethan?
You would join Ethan? It's a monolith. We all speak in unison.
Skibbity, skibbity, skibbity. All right.
Sorry.
It's easy to kind of go back and think like, oh, if I had just known then what I know now. Because there's kind of like a resentment that we have towards God. Like, why didn't you give me this knowledge sooner? You know, why didn't I have these experiences sooner? Why didn't I meet this person sooner? Why did I go through all these? Why did I have all these mistakes? Why did I commit all those sins? Like, why did you let me do all of this? Mm-hmm. Which is wrong. I think the proper response is gratitude. Like, okay, you obviously, this is the best path for me somehow. I don't know how. Maybe it's not the path that you willed for me. But because you are infinite, you can make this into the best path for me if I accept it and I choose to love it. You know, like that's the crazy thing is that like I can choose to love the fact that I feel behind. And it's like, okay, I feel behind. What am I going to do with that? You know, I can offer that up and say, you know what? I feel behind. And that's because, you know, I feel jealous of this person or like there's this one person I feel like I have to impress. Okay. I'm going to be okay with that. And instead of like working extra hard to catch up to where I think I need to be, I'm going to spend more time with my family. You know, or I'm going to spend those 30 minutes in prayer that I would rather spend working because I'm like, you know,
I have always worked for 30 minutes before and you don't actually get as much done as you think.
It's the same as taking a nap that like sneaky or like sleeping in an extra 30 minutes. It's like, it doesn't really make that big of it. Unless you have a solid 2 hours, it doesn't make a big difference.
Dude, the snooze button is the biggest lie in the world. Nine minutes? Nine?
Yeah.
It's so dumb. But it's like every morning I'm like, let's go nine extra minutes.
It's the trade guy. Like, I give you 9 minutes of terrible sleep. You give me the rest of your morning being absolutely terrible.
Trade offer. You give me 9 minutes of extra sleep. I give you absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing at
absolutely
all.
Absolutely nothing.
And also you have a headache now. And Emma got mad at me the other day. I like set my alarm. I got some beef with Emma that I got to talk about on the podcast. Maybe I'll save it for the dating corner. Maybe I'll save it for the Patreon. Those of you that are still listening 39 minutes into the show. If you're not a patron and you've been hearing how much we're struggling, chip us in a little $5, you know, that will make me feel better. I forget everything I said about giving it up to God. I want more money and I want it from you.
What's that noise? Don't look. It's a vacuum that's in your pocket, sucking out all your dollars. And oop, we got a credit card. That makes it grand larceny. Did you know that? If you steal a purse and it has a credit card in it, it's grand larceny.
Yeah, because of the credit limit. The credit limit's so high.
I think that's wrong.
What? I was saying something about Emma. Oh, Emma told me that it was her biggest, not her biggest, but it was a huge pet peeve of hers when I set my alarm and then I crawled back into bed. She's like, why'd you do that? Just get in the shower. It's right there. I was like, dang it. It's so comfy. She's really good about getting up. Like when her alarm goes off, she'll get up. I got to do it too. I got to be brave. But I'm a scared of the dark, Patrick.
You're scared of the dark.
Yeah.
Emma does strike me as the kind of as the gets up immediately before her alarm person. Does she get up?
Oh, she's not happy about it. That's for sure.
No,
not pleased, but she will do it.
She's got the discipline. She's built different.
She is. That's what being an elite champion dancer in high school gets you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was not.
I did not get that, dude. I did not get that in marching band when I had to wake up early in high school for marching band. I was on a meeting today. I was on a call. There's a lady about our age, you know, mid-20s, just graduated from college. And we were talking and she was like, I was telling her where I was from, all these things. She's like, oh, I went to school in Kansas. And it was a Catholic. I knew she was Catholic. So I was like, oh, you went to Benedictine? She's like, yeah. How'd you know? I was like, I could just tell. And then she was like, we were talking about, I was like, oh, I went to K-State. She's like, oh yeah, it's great, K-State. You know, I was like, yeah, we probably played you in football. It's like K-State and Benedict never play each other in football. We're not even the same. Not even close to each
not
other.
Not even the same, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, their football team's doing really well. Like we got to, I was in the marching band and the president flew us down. And I was like, I looked at her. I was like, you played the flute. And she's like, how'd you know that? And I was like, I just clocked her. It was incredible. I was like, I felt the most powerful I've ever felt in a business meeting. Because I just was like Catholic school flute player. Like I just knew. It was amazing.
Just smacking her in the face like flute Catholic. Bet you married a trombone.
Yeah.
Phoebe played the flute.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yep. And she was also the drum major her senior year.
Women do be playing the flute, even though you can't hear that in the first row.
Nah,
play
man.
The trumpet. If women want to be heard, how come they play the flute so much?
Play the trumpet if you want to be heard. Come
play
on.
The trumpet. How about you man up and play, telling women to man up so that they can be heard?
My favorite band archetype is the smallest girl in the world playing the sousaphone.
That's funny.
That's the best band archetype.
She's always mean.
No? Nah.
I feel like...
My friend Michaela in middle school...
The small but mighty band girl is a very common trope.
5'3" and an attitude.
No, don't do it on the podcast. I have to see it on Twitter and now I have to do it
this
on the podcast.
This place is safe.
This is not a place for millennial memes disguised as Gen Z memes.
It's the most millennial Gen Z meme, yeah. Short girls really do love to be like, I have an attitude. I know. I've never met like a really tall girl who's like, I have an attitude, you know?
It's like you gotta pick one. You know.
You can either have a big personality or a big body. You can't have both.
I'm saying. This is a side note just for true Ethan heads out there, but the Yard podcast, their most recent or two episodes ago, they did a millennial versus Gen Z debate where Slime was the millennial and Aiden was the Gen Z and then Nick was the judge and he was in the middle and he would just hit the gavel on the little fire pit they have in the middle of the set every so often. And he always spoke in the third person. The judge agrees with this. It just was a very funny episode and the results may surprise you. And if you care at all about my plight of hating millennials, you will go and listen to that podcast.
It's very good.
Yes. They had a segment where they were debating which generation's dances were better. So it was like the Soulja Boy and the Stanky Leg versus like the Millie Rock and the, you know, all these other things.
The Renegade.
And Aiden pulled up a video of a guy doing the Millie Rock to a porcupine at the zoo and the porcupine does it back to him. It's the most incredible video I've ever seen in my life. Everybody should go watch it.
That's a great video.
Or just look up that video. Just look up Porcupine Millie Rock. It'll send you right there. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal clip.
It's the top. It's the top. It's actually pinned to the top of the internet. If you open your phone, it's right there.
If you Google internet, it'll be the first thing that pops up.
Oh man. Hey, yeah. Good episode. You know, we had a little bit of a, I was asking, I every time someone asked me, I realized we should be promoting the podcast more on our.
Yes. 73% of your 25,000 followers do not know about our show.
That's insane.
That's upsetting me. We always said that if either of us got famous, granted, we thought it would be me, but if either of us got famous,
we really did.
That we would promote the show, and you haven't been promoting the show, man. You got to do a thread about the show.
I realized the headspace. Oh yeah, that'd be fun. I realized the brain space that I have is like, I only want to post something if it's going to do absolute numbers. And that's just not.
It's crazy that you don't think our show would do numbers.
I don't think that me posting about our podcast would do numbers.
No. I think it would.
I don't think so. But I did. It's like now that I've.
You could pretend that I died tragically and do a thread about me. And at the end reveal, he's not dead, but here's our Patreon.
I set up a GoFundMe.
Yes.
And there's a link to our Patreon.
And it's just alive cashing checks at the bank.
my strategy on Twitter was posting hot takes, and they like 5 a day or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm posting threads, I'm getting more impressions on those than I ever did. So like doing one thread a day versus 5 posts on different topics a day is like doing so much better. And so I've just only been posting one thread a day because that's the only work that I need to do. But I could be posting so much more, and I could promote the podcast, promote the course, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Part of the other thing, right? It's like I've been so busy. I've been wanting to make more tweets. Unless I have time to like sit down and think of like memes, it's like very difficult to go from work to just like casually like, oh, let me just make a really great tweet real quick. Mm-hmm. I got to figure out a better routine for that. It's hard, man.
I do have a ton of thread topics that I wrote down. I just sat and I brainstormed with Phoebe. I was like, Phoebe, I need 60 thread ideas that are all things that could become individual threads. So like, you know, a thread about the 7 sacraments that I can then break down into 7 threads about each one, about each sacrament, or like, you know, the 9 documents of Vatican II, 16 documents of Vatican II. I can break those into 16 threads. I was like, I want to create 365 ideas. So I have a thread a day for the year. And I did. Took me about 2 hours.
Are you going to do one on the scatological dimension of the Bible?
All the places in the Bible where there's poop?
There's poop. I think that would be funny to do. And I think it would be good for you to do a funny one every now and then.
I did do a funny one, and you made fun of me for the Office characters.
Because it was about the Office. That's not funny. That's millennial bait.
It did really well. It did
you
really
put,
well.
You put a big fish on the hook, and you're like, come here, boy. And you caught him, and you reeled him in.
Yeah. I do think that genre of here's who would be in what level of hell is funny. And I think that I'm going to do more of those.
It's like it's a reverse tier list.
Yeah.
It's a tier list, but it gets hotter as you go down.
The purgatory one didn't do well. I think it's because I should have put Taylor Swift in hell. That would have been more fun.
Taylor Swift. All right, we're going to do a dating podcast. It's getting late. Patrick's talking about his Twitter. We're not going to be able to end the show. So I'm cutting you off. We're going to do the dating corner now.
All right.
Thank you for doing this main pod with me. It's good to be back. Thank you for letting me back on the show.
I would never take you off the show.
You did last week. Canonically and categorically, you removed me from the show, and you didn't even want me. You didn't even think about me.
I was so pissed when you said you weren't going to be on the show. I was like, man, now I got to figure something out. But it worked out.
But you did great. It was fine. Thank you. I just realized that it wasn't going to work out timing-wise, and I didn't communicate it well. That's my bad. I'm sorry.
All right. Enough patting yourself on the back. Let's get into the Dr. Ethan's dating
Patrick,
corner.
Anything else for the people?
Please tell your friends about our podcast.
Do the pledge.
Please do the pledge. I just really want to keep doing this. I really want to keep doing this podcast with my friend Ethan.
Let's threaten them. Let's emotionally manipulate them. We'll quit unless you tell people.
If there's three dogs downstairs, if you don't share, for every second you don't share this podcast, one of those dogs is going to get a mean look from me. And I'm going to say, you're a bad dog. And he's not going to know why. He's going to say, why am I a bad dog? Why? I'm going to say, you're a bad boy. Bad dog.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. And we will see you next time.